we're going to return to Matthew this week. And in a moment we're going to read again from the Sermon on the Mount. But we come later on this week into the time of Lent, a time of year when we make a concerted effort to focus on God and to prepare ourselves for the celebration of Easter. And in trying to focus on God, there are three traditional elements, which are all spoken about in the passage that I will read to you from Matthew. And they are almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. It's not uncommon for people to take these elements of spirituality more seriously at this time of year. And that's fine. I've done a few things over Lent. Last year I followed a suggestion of giving to charity one item every day throughout the 40 days of Lent. It wasn't very helpful, I don't think, either for me or for the charity. But the idea is sound if you want to follow that. A few years back I prayed every day for my workplace, which I'd never done before. And I told them I was doing it and invited my colleagues to present me with prayer requests. And that was interesting and it opened up some conversations. I do connect with the idea of fasting and often give up something over this time. It prompts me to pray. It focuses my mind a bit. Whenever I think, I really want some chocolate, I pray. And that helps. It's good to have a time where we make an effort to prepare ourselves before God, perhaps in a way that we couldn't keep up for the whole year. Premiere, Christian radio or whatever, Premiere, send me emails, and they sent me one saying they're suggesting take 5 minutes a day for God, and they send you every day different things that you could do in those 5 minutes. If you want me to forward that on to you, come and see me afterwards, because that seems like it could be an interesting one. But whatever works for you, I'd encourage to try something. So we go to giving, prayer and fasting. Giving to others makes us look outside ourselves and see the world around us as a world which is loved by Jesus and in need of him. Jesus himself calls us to love the poor, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick. And when we do these things, we're connecting with him in a very specific way, and we grow in our experience of him. We meet Jesus in the world. Prayer increases our communication with God. We spend more time with him, not just extending our shopping list of requests, but time of praise, time of confession and repentance, time of submission to his will. Jesus prayed repeatedly in the Gospels, and the power of God that's revealed through him is available to us through prayer. Fasting focuses our minds. It reminds us that we're dependent on God rather than material things. It expresses to God the earnestness of our desire to know him better. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for the Lord. That hunger and thirst that we feel physically reflect the hunger and thirst for God. And sometimes the physical hunger prompts us to look for a deeper spiritual satisfaction. These three are great ways of improving our relationship with God. But the Bible gives us somewhat mixed messages. So before we come to today's reading in Matthew 6, let me read to you three passages. The first is a chapter earlier, Matthew 5. Verses 14 to 16. And it says this: You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The second reading I want to read to you is from 1 Kings 18. And it speaks about Elijah. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." It goes on to say how they did that with Baal and prepared the offering for the Lord. And then it says, "At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again.' Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" So that's our prayer. And finally, Nehemiah 9, verses 1 to 2. "On the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and putting dust on their heads. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the sins of their ancestors." Three readings about giving, prayer, and fasting. And so we come to today's reading, which Linda's going to read for us, from Matthew 6. Verses 1 to 8 and 16 to 18. Because we'd already read Matthew 6, verses 8 to 15, the teaching on the Lord's Prayer. So we'll skip that bit. It needs a sermon on its own anyway.
Giving to the Needy. It's page 970 in your Bibles if you want to look it up. "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in their synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men in their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
So giving, prayer and fasting are great spiritual disciplines, but if we're going to do them, we need to do them with the right attitude. You can see why people sometimes think the Bible contradicts itself. We have there Jesus saying, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds." But the bit we read in today's reading says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them." Well, which is it? What do you want? We saw Elijah standing in public making a big spectacle of his prayer to God. Yet Jesus says, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. But Elijah's a hero of the faith. Why, surely he wasn't doing it wrong. Who do we follow? And then we have Nehemiah proclaiming a fast for Israel, wearing sackcloth, putting dust on their heads as they repented of their sins. But Jesus says, don't make it obvious. Three examples of good Jewish spirituality. It's important to realize that Jesus wasn't telling them not to help the needy, not to pray, not to fast. He assumes his disciples will do all these things. But he's saying not like that. He isn't saying Elijah and Nehemiah were wrong. He certainly isn't saying that he's changed his mind about what he said 5 minutes ago. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with doing good, praying or fasting, even in public. The point he's making is, who are you doing it for? Let's watch a video clip for a moment.
Vomitux.
Don't worry, I had a dry clean.
Vomitux? Who vomited on... You know what? What'd you up to, Joe?
Doing this telethon thing on TV, and my agent got me a job as co-host.
Oh, that's great!
Yeah, a little good deed for PBS, plus some TV exposure. Now, that's the kind of math Joey likes to do.
PBS.
What's wrong with PBS?
What's right with them?
Why don't you like PBS, Phoebe?
Because right after my mom killed herself, I was just in this really bad place, you know, personally. So I just thought that it would make me feel better if I wrote to Sesame Street, because they were so nice when I was a little kid. No one ever wrote back.
Well, you know, a lot of those Muppets don't have thumbs.
All I got was a lousy key. And by that time, I was living in a box. I didn't have keys.
I'm sorry, Phoebes. I just wanted to do a good deed, like you did with the babies.
This isn't a good deed. You just want to get on TV. This is totally selfish.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What about you having those babies for your brother? Talk about selfish.
What are you talking about?
Well, yeah, it was a really nice thing and all, but it made you feel really good, right?
Yeah, so?
Well, it made you feel good, so that makes it selfish. Look, there's no unselfish good deeds, sorry.
Yes, there are. There are totally good deeds that are selfless.
Well, may I ask for one example?
Yeah, it's, you know, there's... No, you may not.
That's because all people are selfish.
Are you calling me selfish?
Are you calling you people? Yeah, well, sorry to burst that bubble, Phoebes, but selfless good deeds don't exist, okay? And you know the deal on Santa Claus, right?
I'm gonna find a selfless good deed. I'm gonna beat you, you evil genius.
Hey, Joey, when you said the deal with Santa Claus, you meant...
That he doesn't exist.
Right.
Hmm. I can't find a selfless good deed. You know that really old guy that lives next door to me? Well, I snuck over there and raked up all the leaves on his front stoop, but he caught me, and he, like, force-fed me cider and cookies. And then I felt wonderful. That old jackass.
Maybe Joey's right. Maybe all good deeds are selfish.
I will find a selfless good deed, because I just gave birth to 3 children, and I will not let them be raised in a world where Joey is right.
PBS Telethon.
Hey, Joey. I just wanted to let you know that I found a selfless good deed. I went down to the park, and I let a bee sting me.
What is that going to do anybody?
Well, it helps the bee look tough in front of his bee friends. The bee is happy, and I am definitely not.
Now, you know, the bee probably died after you stung it.
Damn it!
PBS Telethon.
Hi, Joey.
Hey, Phoebes.
I would like to make a pledge. I would like to donate $200.
$200? You sure, Phoebes? I mean, after what Sesame Street did to you?
Oh, I'm still mad at them. But I also know that they bring happiness to lots of kids whose moms didn't kill themselves. You know, so by supporting them, I'm doing a good thing, but I'm not happy about it. So, there, a selfless good deed.
All right, and you don't feel a little good about donating the money?
No, it sucks. I was saving up to buy a hamster.
A hamster? What, those things are like $10.
Yeah, not the one I had my eye on.
It looks like we have surpassed last year's pledge total. Thank you, viewers! The pledge that did it was taken by one of our volunteers. Oh, boy, and may I say, one of our sharpest dressed volunteers, Mr. Joseph Triviani.
Oh, look, my Joey's on TV. Isn't that great? Hey, my pledge got Joey on TV. Oh, that makes me feel so... Oh, no!
Quite a cynical view that Joey shows there, isn't it? Of course there are selfless good deeds. And I'd suggest that most of Phoebe's probably are. Even though she didn't see it, her own happiness was the byproduct of it, not the aim. Joey's, on the other hand, was a perfect example of what Jesus was talking about. Doing good in order for people to see him. Many people today are the same. Even those who care for others out of the goodness of their hearts get discouraged when they never get any thanks for it. And that's such an easy trap to fall into, isn't it? Even for a Christian. We like to be noticed. We like to be thanked. But the only reward we should be looking for is the one from God. When Jesus spoke about letting your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds, the reason behind it was given at the end of the sentence, and praise your Father in heaven. In contrast, there are some who are hoping others see their good deeds and praise them. What about prayer? Elijah stood on a mountaintop and shouted to God. He certainly did it in order to be seen by men. That was absolutely the point. The hypocrites Jesus spoke about did the same. But whereas Elijah's motive was to let it be known today that you are God in Israel, those Jesus spoke about wanted just to be seen by men. And both of them got what they wanted. God answered Elijah's prayer in might and power. The hypocrites of Jesus' day were seen by men and received nothing from God. What about fasting? The Jews fasted regularly as prescribed in the scriptures, but also privately for their own purposes. I doubt it was any easier for them than it was for us. So to be fasting was a sign that you were really serious about God. In the Old Testament, they'd wear sackcloth and ashes, a sign of humility, of repentance, of the fact that they were nothing before God. But in Jesus' day, clearly there were some who liked to show off that they were fasting, who used it as a measure of their own spirituality. People are very good at misusing things that are meant for good for their own benefit. Giving is meant to be about the person who receives, not as a means to show how good the giver is. Prayer is about communication with God, not an accidental communication to the bystanders. Fasting's about focusing and humility before God, not pride over one's own spirituality. And perhaps this is the point. What we truly look for is what we'll get. If we do good, or pray, or fast, in order to be seen by people, we will be seen by people. We may receive their approval. We may receive their thanks. We may receive their admiration. We've received our reward and can expect nothing more. If we do it out of genuine love for people, our reward is to see the need met, the prayer answered. If we do it out of love for God, we'll receive our reward from Him. Today we may face the same temptations over giving. But we're unlikely to pray standing on street corners to be seen by men or dress up to show that we're fasting. If we did, we'd probably have the opposite effects to the hypocrites of Jesus' day. It wouldn't excite admiration from passers-by, but probably scorn and avoidance. The temptation to use it to gain admiration from a secular world today is just not there. But it can still be a temptation in church. Anything we do, whatever the original motives behind it, can become a gateway to pride if we don't watch out. I've heard teaching before that suggested that the proper expression of worship was lifting your hands. And felt the urge to do that so as not to be thought of as less spiritual than other people. I like to kneel in prayer, but I wouldn't do that in church for fear it was come across as trying to show off, trying to be better than others. Even prayers of confession could become opportunities for showing off rather than an honest confession of what a sinner I am. I could really be saying, look how spiritual I am for daring to confess out loud. Testimony can. That temptation to make it all about me, all about how good I am, how spiritual I am. Jesus says to us, if you're doing any of it in order to be seen by other people, you've been seen by them and that's all the reward you'll get. But if you're doing it for God, you'll get His reward. Likewise, let me add the opposite here. There are other means of focusing on God, things that might at first seem nothing to do with Him. Housework or work. If you're doing it for God, it can become a focal point of your worship. Silence can become a focal point. If you're in the car, turn the radio off. As you have a shower each day, remember Jesus is cleansing. As you hug your children, remember the Father's love for you. Normal things can be an act of worship. It's not about what we do. By all means, do good. By all means, pray. By all means, fast. By all means, lift your hands in worship, give testimony, sing out loud, speak in tongues, do the actions to the songs. But you're not doing it for each other, you're doing it for God. It calls for real inward honesty so that we don't end up deceiving ourselves as well as others. Let's guard ourselves against the temptation to pride. Jesus said, the first will be last and the last will be first. If you think you're first among your brothers, you'll probably be last on the day of judgment. If you're looking for a human reward, that's all you'll receive. But why would you do that when God's reward is so much greater? Let me urge you to do something this Lent. To bring yourself into a fuller relationship with God. But it really is all about Him, not about you, and certainly not about those around you. Never lose sight of your true audience. Let's watch one final video. And as we sit in silence, let us confess to God those times that we've sought man's approval rather than his, and ask that he might, this Lent, lead us not into temptation, as we seek only to come closer to him.
Audience of one.
teach us to seek you in purity of heart and humility of action. May we serve you, knowing that in you is all the reward we will ever need. May we grow closer to you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.